We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings. Download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Monday. Luke Stuckmeyer, Cody Delmendo, Ryan Herrera coming to you as we get closer and closer to spring training. What are we, 10 days away from pitchers and catchers at this point? Close?
Something like that, 9 days.
February 20th, the first full team workout. So we're getting
52 days. 52 days until opening day.
52 days to opening day. That is close.
Yeah.
We got some stuff to talk about today. We have that new, the official list of non-roster invitees that are going to be there at spring training trying to make the roster. 32 guys. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the show podcast with John Heyman talking to Jed Hoyer last week. And if there's anything we can kind of pull out of that and read between the lines a little bit. We'll tell you about what we've got coming up the rest of the week. And of course it's, not baseball news, but it is Super Bowl week. Are you a little excited about the Super Bowl coming up? I am, because I think it's a good matchup. Finally.
I'm actually sad because it's the last football game I'll get to bet on for like 8 months. So I already tweeted, you got to savor what football we have left. Obviously, this is the Cubs show and like baseball is my first love. But a degenerate's paradise is football season, and that's a fact. No one will ever tell me otherwise.
Yeah, it's nice because you have all day Saturday and all day Sunday. Like, there are specific days of the week set for you to be your degenerate self. So the other 5 days you can.
I love baseball. I love it, but I hate gambling on it. It's the worst. It is the worst to bet on, and the reason is because it's so random and you can't predict anything about it. And at least with football, there's some sort of like predictability for a lot of it. So hey, savor it, guys.
And also, by the way, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page. Best way to check us out: subscribe, give us the likes, the 5 stars, the thumbs up thing from Joe Madden when he's out there. If you're on Spotify, make sure you give us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate that. We'd like you to catch the Apple Podcast, people. Mm-hmm. I used to be an Apple guy. Now I'm switching over to Spotify. Honestly, I don't know why. Just thought I'd mix it up a little bit. I throw a wrinkle in there. I do want to report breaking news, by the way. The streak is over. Streak is over. But I was able to cut it short at one. My mother-in-law made her famous sugar cookies yesterday, and so I had a Paul Bunyan sugar cookie that was frosted.
As first reported on CHGO Cubs.
First reported here.
Has eaten a sweet.
Yep, yeah. First sweet of 2023. It happened, and it's over, and now we move on.
Also,
what was your favorite part of the streak?
Oh man.
Just like
watching his face. Watching his face whenever someone else brought sweets into the office.
When those cupcakes were at the office, two weeks ago? Brutal. Luke was a shambles, man.
It really was rough. And you know, I'm trying to basically start it over again. I would like to push it to early March now for my birthday, but Super Bowl weekend is a tough one. Anybody that's trying to watch what they're eating, Super Bowl weekend is just,
I mean, it's the best time for dips, right? Buffalo chicken dip. This is the peak time for buffalo chicken dip. If you're lazy, you just go get your whatever dip you want at the store and get you some chips and there you go. Like, it's nothing like it, man. So I'm going to try my best to be good throughout the week. That way I can then, go all in on Sunday because I love Super Bowl Sunday for the food and that's it. Cause the Bears are never in it. So
that's true.
I got to enjoy it somehow. Though.
Speaking of Super Bowl, our Bears team, our CHGO Bears team is out in Phoenix. The whole All-City crew, All-City Network crew is out there. But, Adam Ho, Mark Harmon, Nick Moriano, all out there on Radio Row at Super Bowl. So any of you Bears fans or just football fans in general, make sure you're keeping up with them because they're going to be producing good content all week.
I was tuning in to today's show. They got a pretty cool setup, and they had some really cool guests on. So
we got a basketball hoop I saw. I get to I'm going to check the whole podcast out later, but it looks like a good time. Everybody's there. I don't know if I'd ever really want to be a Radio Row personally. Like, it just seems like chaos. Chaos is the only way you can describe it.
First of all, I'd like to change the name of it to Podcast Column. I mean, it's like 2023 here.
Pathway, Podcast Pathway.
Yeah,
there you go.
Podcast Island. I don't know, something like that. And then as far as the basketball hoop that is at their All-City compound, Adam Hoag was like, man, I don't know what you guys are thinking. Like, we're never going to be there. We're going to be in this conference center pretty much all day, all night. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of one-on-one games going on. So
if there are one-on-one games, I'm confident Mark Carmen will come away with an injury before they get
back. The Achilles, way he plays, like, I don't want to the way he plays ping pong in the office, he's due for an injury.
He's going to get hurt. It's too old.
All right, guys.
All right. So we are, we're closing in on this spring training. Feels like there's finally optimism going toward spring training, right? For the first time in a long time, 32 non-roster invitees. I want to talk about of that list, and we'll go through some of the names. Who has a realistic shot of impacting this team? And then are there other guys that are on that list that are simply there to potentially be thrown in trades later? You know, like, there's some depth guys, but are there also some names in there that might be a piece of a trade if you move forward? So the first name that I saw pop up, well, everybody saw Matt Mervis, right? So that gets people excited that Matt Mervis is going to be fun to watch. The three of us still believe that he's, I don't know what he'd have to do in spring training and Cactus League action for him to actually make the opening day roster. I think once they signed Mancini, to me, it felt like it'd take a miracle for Mervis to make the opening day roster. Do you guys believe that?
I would say that I agree, but if he just has like a Chris Bryant type spring, maybe that would pull the trigger. That's like the only thing that I could see them doing it. But I don't, it would have to be an insane spring. Like I said, Chris Bryant in 2015 hit 9 home runs and they still sent him to AAA, in which it resulted in a lingering quote unquote bad relationship with him and the Cubs at the end of his tenure. But that obviously I don't think that has any play in this. So, I mean, I think he goes to AAA, but it would be good. It would be interesting. It would be fun to watch him this spring going into.
What do you think, Ryan? You'll get a first close look.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Cody, but even then, even if he has that kind of spring, I still give it like a slimmer chance than not even 50-50 to me at that point. Still, it's just the way the Cubs have treated the position. Obviously, Matt Mervis is a first baseman. He could DH, but he's position wise, he's a first baseman. They have two guys that could fill that role capably, and when one of those guys isn't, there's plenty of other. There's Trey Mancini can DH when Hosmer's playing first base, vice versa. Plus, there's a lot of other guys that could play DH on this team, or that could DH on this team. So just the way that they've kind of addressed that spot on the roster, it doesn't feel like Mervis has much of a good shot to make the opening day roster. And again, it's not any kind of indictment on him and the way he played and the way he impressed last year and how he may play in spring training. It's just the roster's pretty full. I mean, he's not even on the 40-man roster, so a move in that sense would have to be made too. It's just the roster itself is just kind of full of guys that can take that pressure off of Matt Mervis. And we've talked about it, how, Eric Hosmer is a league minimum signing, right? League minimum money. If it doesn't work out, and then if Matt Mervis is mashing in the minor leagues, and then Eric Hosmer gets like a month and it just is not working out, that's not a tough pill for the Cubs to swallow to, let him go and bring Mervis up, right? Like that's a scenario that could easily happen during the season. I don't think I see a scenario in which he, is on the opening day roster to start the year. The chance is very slim, and I don't even know that a incredible spring training really shifts it that much into his favor.
Yeah.
Well, and you have to weigh really what spring training and Cactus League's games are too. Like, a guy can lead the entire Cactus League in hitting and then start the season 0-28. Like, that's just, pitchers are working on things. It's not the perfect scenario for evaluating a player, but at least you get to see them in person up close. So if we believe Mervis is most likely headed for a little more developing time before he gets his call, what about a guy like Cam Sanders, who we saw them, we were wondering whether they were going to protect him on the 40 man. And he's a guy that's can throw heat. I feel like the names, even Mark Leiter or Braylon Marquez or Cam Sanders, push all those guys into one group. I think that the relievers are the place where you're most likely to see a guy sneak his way into the opening roster when the season starts, right? Like, I feel like that's generally where most teams kind of leave the door open a little bit. If some guy's hot, you might as well ride it. Maybe Cam Sanders is one of those guys. I saw, I believe it was his dad that tweeted out, like, so happy for, like, him to just get the shot. You want to be in that big league camp because the correct eyes are on you at the right time, and you're competing against other big league guys. And with the big, so you're watching them go about their business every morning. You're soaking that experience in, but then you have the right set of eyes watching you. You're not off on some backfield where if you do something well, somebody's going to miss it. Hopefully somebody's watching you at all times. So maybe Cam Sanders, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he was someone that last year we were like, I wonder if the Cubs would call him up before the end of the year, because he really showed out as a reliever in Iowa. And I think he came up as a starter, but, had some struggles in Iowa as a starter, but then they transitioned him to a reliever. Correct me if I'm wrong. Again, I don't ever admit to being number one on this type of stuff, but they would transition into a reliever and he was throwing upper 90s with the fastball.
Right. Which don't really have. That's another reason why I'd say he's on the radar.
Right. So I'd love to see him, if he pitches well, shows command with all his pitches. Yeah, I'd love to see him be like this year's Ethan Roberts, for example. Like, Ethan Roberts kind of won the job, won his position last year. So I'd love to see him do that. He was drafted in, I think, the top four rounds in the 2018 draft for the Cubs. If you go back and look at that draft, like, there's a lot of names that are familiar on there, and I'd love to see him be another one added to a highly touted draft for the Cubs that year. So especially because he does throw the gas, though, because it seems like they need more of that, especially coming out of the bullpen. So I would say him, as far as a position player, you know, Chase Strumpf is someone that I'm intrigued because he plays third base. And obviously the Cubs have, you know, it looks like it's going to be a committee at third base. I think Morel is probably going to get a really good shot. And so and that or him and Wisdom are just going to have, you know, be a platoon, you know, based off matchups. But he's someone that I know our friends such as Greg Huss has talked about before. And as far as position player, he's someone that I'm intrigued to see because it seems like he might potentially get an opportunity down the road. I don't know if he will make it out of camp, and I doubt that. But that's the one position player on here that I'm excited about.
Yeah, well, I know you mentioned Kyle Sanders, and yeah, he was a guy that remember he had that developmentalist like 1 week developmentalist stint in July as he kind of moved from starter to the bullpen and. You know, he had a little more success there. I remember talking to Jared Banner, the Cubs vice president of player development, in like August or so, kind of asking just kind of as, you know, a couple roster spots open up on the big league roster and, you know, injuries still happen. Like who is, you know, some of those AAA names to keep an eye on. And Cam Sanders was one of those guys that he mentioned. So the Cubs think highly of him, especially now that he's kind of moved into a bullpen role. But he's not the only arm that intrigues me. I mean, like Danny's Correa is someone we've heard about a lot. There's a few guys down there in that list that are maybe not the Cubs, like, you know, top prospects, but relief prospects rarely are, right? Any top prospects that end up being big league relievers are generally like starting pitchers that get moved. So there's a lot of depth in that relief pitcher, like AAA, like fringe tier. That I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do in big league camp because these are guys that we've heard a little bit about, didn't get to see all of them last year, of course, but definitely want to see what they are able to do. Surrounded by big leaguers, facing big league hitters, and then if any of them happen to make that opening day roster, like that's interesting to me just to see what they could do at the big league level.
Saw our buddy Gary in the chat asking, like, any surprises on the list? Anybody that's kind of shocking? I noticed any shocking names. You forget that David Bodie's invited to camp. You almost forget about David Bodie on the roster. At least I do. so I don't know where Bodie fits into their plans. Obviously, he's depth. You know, he's depth in the organization. But I think you know what you have there. So I don't know that there's a ton of evaluation you need to do with David Bodie going into the Cactus League season and throughout spring training. A surprise. How about my guy? EQ. Esteban Quiroz, the man from Who You Got, guys. Nice. By him being
a legend.
Because he's a non-roster invitee here, that potentially could mean three more points added onto my total, which would make me a champion last year.
God.
I won the playoff. I won the playoff who you got. So I was the real champion. You get the regular season title, but I got the overall title.
No, I got the regular season
title. I still haven't decided if I don't remember. You know, I know that the commissioner has asked that I take over for the sanctity, and
we're gonna get a whiteboard and put like have an actual thing for this because
whiteboard, anybody can erase a little grease board. Anybody can fix that. That's
all right.
I don't know.
I just know that I'm not freaking counting all the points all season again like I did last year, which I didn't even start until like May.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I could have easily won regular season too. We'll never know.
Should we maybe
besides
do
the fact
a,
that I ended up getting zero because I bet all my points on one game
on that's, days that's when fun. We have podcasts. Live podcast. So let's say we're Monday through Thursday for us, right? Should we do a Cactus League Who You Got and keep score just to kind of test out the new formula for how we're going to do this and test out different ways we could make it better? Fix the Who You Got. Start with some Cactus League games where you got to pick a guy that you've never even heard the name and he's going to show up and he's going to play the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning.
Or how about this?
Ryan could be catching the seventh inning if he's there. We don't know.
How about this? I had the idea that just because, you know, we tend to bring our own biases into Who You Got because we want to win. Because we have the YouTube polls in the chat, we put the polls in the chat and let the people pick. And by the end, you know, by the end of every show we do, we'll have an answer on who, you know, who wins, who you got.
Boy, that's awfully that could be tainted results right there. I've seen how you guys schmooze Mike Dubs on this podcast.
I don't know.
Like, oh, Mike Dubs is the greatest. And then, see, and then the next day it's Gary.
A lot of people are here because of you, Luke. People will vote for you just because it's you.
No, that's not true. Have these people, they don't even remember. They're all like, who is that old? Who's the old guy that doesn't know how to log on? And
I trust the people. I trust the people to be fair. And I don't know. Unbiased. I trust them. You in the chat.
Barbara wants to
help her laugh when you say that, Ryan. Oh my gosh.
Barbara wants us to get back on track. She says Brendan Little might be a good candidate.
Well, he did come up last year in Toronto
series,
and he didn't do very well. But he was a first round pick for the Cubs back in 2017. The bullpen still seems very sus right now in terms of proven guys. But again, I'm not too worried about it. But, you know, if of the bullpen guys outside of Cam Sanders, like we already talked about, I'm intrigued about Ben Leaper. I'm intrigued about Bailey Horn, who came over from the White Sox for, I think it was Ryan Tepera.
Yeah.
Obviously, Braylon Marquez is a name that we've talked about for years and years to see the Cubs, you know, bring him back after they basically cut him, you know, shows that they still have some hope for him, I think, as more of a reliever at this point. So we'll see. And then obviously Manny Rodriguez has shown some, you know, good innings at the major league level. So they got some relievers here that I'm excited about. Brandon Little isn't near the top of it, but for sure, I mean, whatever they can get out of him would be great. Cause I just don't know what to expect from him specifically.
Yeah. It feels like another season where, like you said, they don't have a lot of proven relievers, and as you know, injuries will happen. That's just baseball. Mm-hmm. So you're probably going to see a lot of names that you probably maybe you weren't even expecting to see at various points of the year. Just because that I know Jed has talked about wanting to get to a point where they are, you know, the Cubs are developing their own bullpen guys. Like their whole bullpen is full of guys that they've developed in their system. They are still a ways away from doing that, but bringing up their own instead of like going out and signing random relievers off the market, like bringing up their own guys who are kind of ready for that big league audition will help them get there a lot quicker than if they do a different route.
Yeah.
You see Michael Collada says he's been watching since he was 10. So that means, you know, I've been doing this about 81 years, something like that.
Slanderous comment from our friend Michael Collada.
Love it.
Did you see the thumbs up we got on the, again, if you're watching live on YouTube, if you're not, you're missing out. We got the thumbs up for a like from Frank Schwindel going around the base. That's a great shot.
We need an actual Cub to go around the bases with this thumbs up or something.
Yeah.
So we can replace that.
We could suggest that to some current Cubs players. Hey, if you hit a home run, could you give us the thumbs up as you go around second? We'd appreciate it. Did you guys notice that Rich Biesterfeld put up some pictures of Cade Horton at camp?
Mm-hmm.
I did see that.
I mean, that's a guy I really want to see in a Cactus League game. I would love to see him pitch in a game this spring just to see some sort of a little bit of something. Give us a taste of the, you know, the first round pick from 2022. Some people will say, you know, highest ceiling of anybody in the organization or one of the top. He kind of shot up and that's why they drafted him. I thought it was, first of all, Rich takes great pictures. And I feel like he takes the pictures of the people, the players that all the fans are out there thinking like, I wonder if so-and-so's in camp yet. And then you follow his Twitter, which is at BIEST22. And I swear to you, like every day I think of somebody that the next day that person's facing.
They're there. Yeah.
He's been posting a lot of Nico content too. I'm sure that's making Brendan very happy.
He's tagging Brendan in those pictures just because he knows. But going back to Cade Horton, like I agree with you, Luke. That's someone I really want to see. Not solely, but like mainly because of the fact that he didn't pitch last year for the Cubs. They didn't try to rush him into any, you know, rookie league games or anything like that. Like they drafted him and then just kind of let him do his thing for the next few months until, you know, off season started and he started to kind of get his own thing going. But he didn't pitch in like a game setting for the Cubs last year. So this is really going to be the first time we see that. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what Cade Horton does. You know, we've kind of heard a lot about him, you know, post draft, right? The pick out of the draft kind of like right out of the way felt like a little bit of a shock, felt like maybe a little bit of a reach. But the more I know, like, you know, some of the national prospect guys I've talked about, he was the best college pitcher in the draft, right? The Cubs got the best college pitcher they could have gotten. Cubs had a great pick. Like, and then you hear more about what he does on the mound, his pitch repertoire, all this stuff. And you kind of get the feeling like, okay, like now we hear the good things. I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see him pitch on the mound. I want to see him pitch in a spring game. I want to see what he can do. Because if what we're hearing is true, like this could be a very solid rotation piece for the Cubs moving forward at, you know, obviously a cheap rate. Right. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in spring.
I see during the chat, by the way, is there, Cody, a guy, a player you can think of? I've already seen Triantos pictures. I've already seen PCA photos. I've already seen Miguel Amaya photos. Who's the prospect or the player that you'd like to see some photographs of? Who are you itching to see in a Cubs uniform?
Well, if anyone knows me, I want to see my guy Max Bain out there. I don't even know if he's reported yet. Right. I haven't sent him a text. Friend of the program, Max Bain. Huge, huge year ahead, Max Bain. Yeah. But
catapult season.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe I don't know. Maybe he has done this, and maybe I haven't seen it, but maybe some Ryan Jensen, for instance.
Just added to the 40 man.
Yeah.
This offseason.
I'd like to see some Ryan Jensen. I see Rich says that Max isn't in camp yet. I'm going to text Max and tell him to get his ass out there.
Somebody in the chat says Ohtani.
Ohtani, yes, yes.
That would be good.
Ohtani. I don't know. A lot of people showed up early. I mean, we've already seen, you know, a lot of the free agent guys, except for Swanson. But, you know, I guess just like someone says Jackson Ferris, that, you know, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I'd love to see what he looks like in a Cubs spring training uniform. But yeah, no. Regarding Cade Horton, though, like we were talking about, I was seeing a lot of discourse related to just the Cubs drafting him instead of Cam Collier last summer. This weekend, for some weird reason, I have no idea why people were talking about this on Cubs Twitter, but I understand it from a sense because he plays third base and he's already in the MLB top 100. But I think that we could see Cam Horton enter the top 100 by midseason. I'm with you, Ryan. Like, I'm excited to see what he can do because, yeah, they said he's the best college pitcher in the draft. So, you know, let's see what he can do. And if he does get into that top 100 by midseason, then, you know, I think hopefully the discourse related to who the Cubs drafted, I think that will end pretty quickly.
The problem I have with that is you don't draft for positions of need now. No. You don't do that. That's a stupid way of looking at it because this guy you might draft may not be up for three more years. And you would hope in those 3 years you have found your answer to a long-term answer, right? So to say they should have taken this guy because he plays third base and the Cubs, we need one, he's not going to affect the Cubs' third base hole for a few years if they were to draft him. So to draft based on positional need, you know, present day positional need is just a dumb way to do it. And I mean, like the Cubs rightfully so didn't look at it that way. Like they saw this guy, best college pitcher in the draft, could easily be up in the next couple of years to help out the rotation or whatever it is. Like that seemed a lot more like it felt right. It felt better than them trying to go and get this young hitter who's going to take a few years and maybe we'll plug up this hole they could do. Because you think about it, especially a big market team like the Cubs, they could go out and get some. They should be able to go out and get somebody to fill that role. There's no need to think about, oh, they should have drafted this. Or even, you know, I remember someone talking about Brooks Lee at the Cubs convention in the same sense. It's like, why, you know, this high school hitter not going to be ready for a few years. If the Cubs haven't found a third baseman by the time that guy is ready, then that's a different indictment on the team.
And it's different than the NFL. Like, we believe the Bears have their quarterback in Justin Fields, so they're probably not taking a quarterback. At least that's what most people think. Mm-hmm. This is different because you have developmental leagues leading up to the major leagues. Like, there's usually a long stretch of development time before the guy gets there anyways, like Ryan is saying. Now, the Cubs have kind of shown their hand in that they did go pitching heavy for a while, right? Like, they may go pitching or offense like they did in, you know, before 2016, but they're not going to go, we need a third baseman, so let's just take the best third baseman that's on the list. So that's I would agree with that part. Cody, what do you have for DraftKings coming up? Because this is like gambler's paradise here.
Oh, yeah. This is the reason that we did download the DraftKings app and, you know, use code CHGO when you sign up. It's the best. We're leading up to the best game of the year, outside of when the Cubs go to the World Series, of course. anyway, so if you're ready for the biggest sports or the biggest Sunday in sports, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57, has all the Super Bowl action you need. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get in on the Super Bowl 57 excitement with DraftKings Happy Hour Super Boost. Check the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day between 6 and 9 p.m. Eastern time. So that would be 5 and 7? Or 5 and 8 Central time? Am I doing that correctly?
What were the times?
6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern time. So it would be – Eastern time is an hour ahead of us, right?
You're
so
saying 9 Eastern is 8 Central.
8 Central. There you go. I'm really bad at time. I'm really bad at math, guys.
Although when you get to Arizona, that turns me all around. Where they sometimes it's this time of day.
In my defense, time of day. In my defense, Adam Hogue was trying to read this ad in the Bears podcast, and he too struggled with the math.
Well, so, you know, I know I don't ever know what time it is in Arizona.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a three hour time slot there where you can get these the Super Boost or whatever they're calling it. I'm leaning the Eagles to win outright. I ain't going to mess with that spread, but there's time for me to change my mind. However, I was looking at the coin flip markets today, plus 100 for heads and tails. I mean, tails never fails. I like that one. I take tails every year. Anyway, you can do it all on DraftKings Sportsbook. You download it right now and use code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Guys, our next partner is a product I've been using for almost a year now. Started it AG1 because I didn't have time, wanted better gut health, more energy, and an optimized immune system. Now I've been on it, like I said, almost a year, and it doesn't taste super healthy. Instead, it's got a tropical taste, and it is super healthy. It's delicious. So here's what it is. One scoop of AG1, you absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. Special blend of ingredients supporting your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy recovery, focus, aging, all those things. I get a boost of energy, so I take it empty stomach first thing in the morning, and there I go. Lifestyle friendly too, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, you're all good with AG1. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance for less than $3 a day. Recommended by professional athletes, more than 7,000 five-star reviews. So right now, reclaim your health, arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop and a cup of water every day, that's it. You don't need a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do, listen up, visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs. Again, athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs to take ownership over your health. Pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. I had that sugar cookie. I felt bad about it. First sweet, you know, in more than a month in 2023. What did I do this morning? Got right back to basics. Back to basics, baby. Went right back to the AG1 in the morning. And by the way, how do I know that my phone is listening to me all the time? My Instagram feed, every day now has an AG1 ad that just comes floating through. I'll be flipping through Instagram, looking for Cubs info on there, and all of a sudden, there's AG1 reminding me, get back to basics. Get back to basics. Start with the gut health.
Because they're listening.
That's right.
I had to get my AG1 on Sunday because I went on a bender Saturday after Illinois broke my heart. So
I watched that.
I needed I had a lot of AG1 yesterday. Yeah.
That was I got to tell you, I don't think I haven't watched a ton of Illinois basketball, but that was the first game that I watched like pretty much the whole game. They're not that good. They're not that good.
You're going to say that to me live on YouTube right now to my face with all these people watching?
Well, I don't know that Iowa's that good either. I just watched Illinois. I was like,
I thought Illinois played their best game since they beat Texas on Saturday. So
I know, but then they blew it.
Yeah, helps whenever you let Tony Perkins shoot 15 free throws or whatever. Dude's literally the size of Ryan, so whatever.
Mike Dubb says the balloon was listening. Let's not get into that. Just stay away from the balloon stories. Let's talk about Jed Hoyer going on with Heyman and Sherman on the show podcast. First thing that
last week,
out,
by the way, for everyone listening.
Last week, and he's there's a quote in there where he talks about we're on the front edge. So we keep talking about the next great team and where the prospects are coming. Now he's saying we're at the front edge. So I wonder how many times that's going to pop up this season. And he did admit that, you know, talked about the hard decisions and the job is hard decisions. And Theo left a year earlier than they expected him because he wanted him to make those hard decisions, right? And he believes in his heart that he said he's confident those decisions will lead to a very good place in the future. Listen, I hope so. And I hope this is the front edge of it. What I don't want to do is look back again. They can't take a step back this season. All the steps have to be forward now. There's been enough of two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward. That's over. Last year, what did I say was all about evaluation and exploration? That can't be this season.
I agree.
And I think he realizes that based on a lot of the moves that they made this offseason, right? A lot of them are stopgap moves. A lot of them, there are still some gamble moves, but they're clearly stopgap moves waiting for the next wave of players to come in. But we've been talking all offseason about these potential extensions for Ian Happ and Nico Horner. Those are the two names we really talk about, right? We've thrown out some other names saying, you know, should they talk to Justin Steele? Should they talk to this player? But really, it's been Nico Horner and Ian Happ that we've talked about. There's a quote in here from this podcast that I think kind of shows you what to expect here. And what it shows you is that the next week is really important. He was asked about the Rizzo negotiations in 21. And he said that one of the things he learned is, he said, we negotiated during spring training. I don't think I'd like to do that much anymore. I'm going to try to avoid that. It started the season off on a bad front. He went on to say about how he drives with his dogs to and from Arizona every year. And that year in 21, after the negotiations carried through spring training all the way, he said he was driving home and all he could hear on the radio was people talking about Rizzo, how he didn't have a deal done. And, you know, the team was in first place for a while, like into June, but it obviously fell apart, and then they start tearing things down. Mm-hmm. He felt it left a bad taste in Rizzo's mouth, and not just Rizzo's, everybody's mouth, and so he's not going to do it again. That makes me believe, if you take that for what he says, that if a deal's going to get done with Ian Happ, you got about 10 days to get it done, or I'd be surprised if Ian Happ is a Cub beyond this season.
Yeah, he said that multiple times throughout the offseason that he, you know, doesn't want to do negotiations in spring training. He'd like to get kind of extensions and all that stuff done pre-spring training. But I'd agree, but I also don't think it rules it out. You know, again, the Cubs and, you know, Ian Happ have a good relationship. They understand the business of baseball, both sides. They came to that agreement on arbitration. before, or they came, on a contract before having to go to arbitration. I don't think it rules it out, an extension. But I would agree that if it doesn't happen by the time, everyone reports to spring training and everything's starting, if a deal isn't done by then, it's going to make it hard.
February 20th. You're saying first team workout.
I if it's not done by then, it'll make it tough to see as an extension coming, later on, especially when, looking at Jed's words, looking at just how hard it is to get an extension done during the season. Like, players' agents work on those things, but players also want to be involved in that. But then they're also focusing on playing baseball at the same time. And that's tough. That's why I think everyone on both sides likes to get those things done before spring training even starts. So I say, you give it the 20th, that's 2 weeks from today. That's still a lot of time to get something like that done if they so choose. But if it doesn't get done by then I'll agree that it's tough to see that getting done after that point.
Just to play devil's advocate, didn't say that they wouldn't try in season. And, related to Rizzo, Rizzo was very adamant about how he didn't want to mess with it in season at all. So I don't know how much that has an effect. I'm just, again, playing devil's advocate here with it. Otherwise I do agree. I'm just saying that it would honestly probably boost my offseason grade to B plus A minus if they're able to get an extension done with him or Horner. I can't fathom the Cubs wanting to go into another season with contract extension distraction talk again. I mean, this has been a thing for 5 years. 5 years, every single year. Last year, it's Wilson Contreras. The year before that, we're just talking about with Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, and those three the previous years. So, I can't fathom the Cubs wanting to even want to be in any kind of, just discourse related to that, and especially after the offseason that they had. It was – They went into the offseason with a ton of momentum after going 39-31. You made some really good moves to make this team more competitive and with an outside chance of maybe making the playoffs this year. You're bringing a lot of momentum going into this year. Signing Happ to an extension or Horner to an extension would only make the future seem more bright for this team, moving forward if they can get it done. So, that's kind of how I feel about it. And, what Hoyer said in that podcast related to all, he spoke on all three. He talked about how the grievance with Bryant played a factor, straight up said it. He brought up the grievance. He said that they were very close with Baez, but then COVID came and somehow that just ruins everything, which he also said at the very beginning of that conversation that openly for the first time said that, with COVID came and that meant that they had to shred payroll. He basically openly said it. And then we just talked about with the Rizzo thing. So I don't know, man, that's just kind of how I feel with all of it, is that the Cubs will do themselves some favors if they just pay one of those two, extend one of those two, whatever it is, because it's just a distraction that's only going to bring the team down. You think Happ wants to answer all these questions again?
No, but he's going to – I guarantee you that the first time Ian Happ is interviewed in Arizona, he will get that question. The second time he's interviewed by somebody different, he will get that question. The next time the next TV station shows up, he will get that question. And the first time that Jed Hoyer sits down at Sloan Park at a table, the microphone's in front of him, and he's asked all the questions in opening press conference – one of the first two or three questions, one of them will be about where are you at with extension talks for Ian Happ and Nico Horner. So he knows the questions are coming. And at that point, he will have to give an answer. It may not be a hard deadline, but those comments, like Ryan says, he said it enough times now that I believe he has learned a lesson that he doesn't want to have to answer that question multiple times. So maybe let's just use Happ as the example. Let's say they're close with Happ and it's just a matter of $500,000 or it's something close to $200,000. I believe that, yes, if it was that close, they might let it slide into like the first 2 days of camp. But I don't believe you're going to 3 weeks into camp have negotiations going on, because for the first time in multiple years, you finally have good vibes, as Cody likes to say, good vibes going into a spring training. And you do not want failed extension talks or a lack of extension talks or whatever you want to call them, sucking the vibe down. You don't want that just being taken away from you, an off season where you made some moves that people are finally happy about and excited to see the development. You don't want to kill. Listen, if you're going to compete for a wild card or the division this year, we all know a lot of things are going to have to go right, but it's a bad division. A lot of the things have to go right. And you certainly don't want to start it off on the wrong foot. You don't want to start it with negativity at the beginning of camp. So if it's Nico Hoerner, I don't really think it's that big of a deal, because they could just wait till next year to have the same conversation with Nico. For me, I believe if it's Hap, if it's not done one of those first 2 days of camp, forget it. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. It's just,
we'll see.
We will.
The Cubs will do themselves some favors if they just get it done with one of the two. I at this point, I don't care which one. I just want one of the two extended.
I will say that, if you're talking about urgency, Nico was probably the less urgent of them, just because he's on his first arbitration year, which obviously just by the way the arbitration years go, Hap is on his last arbitration year. If you want to resign both of them, Hap is the one that needs to happen this offseason, of course. I've seen people in the chat. I think is Evil Wax said of the two, I think there's a stronger chance of them extending Hoerner than Hap. If we're talking this offseason, I don't know, but just like overall, like which one is more likely to get an extension? I think I lean Hoerner too.
Yeah, I mean, the versatility infield, and he's younger and all of those things. So I don't disagree with that. I did find it interesting that when he was talking about 2016, like Cody said, he did mention that a lot of things went wrong. They tried to make the offers. We've heard most of that stuff before, but he did talk at the very end of the podcast. He was asked, what lesson have you learned? And he said, I think you have to adapt when you're on top. There's a human tendency when you're on the top of the mountain to look around and enjoy the view and feel good about the hike you just went on. That's the moment you have to get back to work. And he did say he was going to speak in general terms right before he made that quote on the podcast. And two things jumped out. A couple things. One, he talked about how chemistry is fleeting and that that's something he's talked about with Dave Ross. Okay, without being too general, he just told us that chemistry wasn't right on the team after 2016. Something wasn't the same about that group of guys that bonded together over coming up to the big leagues, getting there, having no worries, and being like, we're going to be the team to do it. We're the guys to do it. We're the best friends that anybody could have. And we saw that stretch of baseball where the Cubs were constantly looking for a leader, right? The right type of leader. Now, we know Jason Hayward was one of those guys, but of the core guys, they wanted one of those guys to be able to be the voice and the type of leader they wanted. I don't think they ever found that. And that's another reason why maybe they didn't, they made quality offers, at least the way it looks in hindsight, but I'm not sure they went over and beyond for anybody, because I'm not sure they saw the right leadership or chemistry out of that. And, you know, he talks about you have to change when you're at the top. If I'm reading behind the lines there, he's not just talking about himself. Without saying it, he's talking about the players, the guys that wouldn't adjust their swing, the guys that wouldn't talk to a certain hitting coach about doing certain things a certain way because they, listen, I understand it. They won the World Series at a young age and they're all like, why would I change? Well, because the rest of the league is changing and it finally caught up to some of these guys and they weren't able to take it from this level to the next level. Instead, they kind of hovered back and some of them regressed a little bit. So I think, you know, I don't want to get into it too much, but I do believe that there is some blame to go around on both sides. And I don't think he's strictly talking about himself when he says you have to make change. That said, we've mentioned many times on this podcast, they probably should have broken it up a year earlier or 2 years earlier. One or two guys, not all of them, but they should have made decisions earlier than they did.
It was very interesting when he was talking about like should have made changes earlier, what they learned along the way to avoid going back into this side of state. I mean, like, I love all those guys forever. Like Chris Bryant, the slander I read about Chris Bryant on the internet to this day pisses me off like no other. But yeah, the guy has been injury prone the last few years, you know, and Javi Baez has been awful in Detroit right now. Rizzo is the only one where you can say, yeah, we probably wish we could have kept him, not only because of what he did for the organization, but he played well in New York, and maybe that ballpark has helped him out to increase those power numbers back up to, you know, the 2016, 2017 years that he had. But yeah, I mean, he's right when it comes to them just kind of like not wanting to adjust and go with the rest of the league. I won't say that he's wrong about that. There's a reason that team in 2018 couldn't go farther. They just didn't know how to hit at the end of the year for some weird reason. The same thing happened in 2019 too. Even though I will forever argue that in 2019, that team could have been better if they just would have, you know, fixed the roster. But instead they signed Daniel Descalso. And then because Ben Zobrist left to go deal with his wife who's cheating on him, they were able to sign Craig Kimbrell. So, I mean, there are faults to both sides there. You know what I mean? And so, but when it comes to like what happened in 18, yeah, I agree with Jed on that. And I also agree that, yeah, they should have shook up the roster after 18. Mm-hmm. But again, they didn't do that. It's just,
you know, who agrees with you? Yeah. Fernando, super chat. It's all about vibes and dumb metrics.
Absolutely. Super chat, Fernando.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I do remember talking to Jed. It was actually when they were playing the White Sox and just kind of, you know, talking about that, like one of the questions was just kind of what, because he talked about how they wanted to build sustained success after 16 and they didn't. And so one of the questions was obviously like what did you learn from that lack of sustained success over, you know, after like 4 years, what did you learn from that this next time around you could actually sustain it longer? And that, you know, what you guys are talking about was really it. Like they talked about how he talked about how they really wanted to do it again with that group, you know, that group of guys that came up in 16 and were the young guys, but they were huge, right? Bryant, Contreras, Rizzo, Baez, like they wanted to do it again with them. And you know, they just didn't gel at the same time after that, right? They didn't gel. They didn't see the huge improvements that they wanted out of a lot of those guys. I mean, you guys got better, but it wasn't all, you know, the development is not linear is the cliche, right? But it wasn't happening at the same time where those guys were able to repeat what they had done in 2016. And that also comes from the fact of, you know, they lost Dexter Fowler, right? Jason Hayward didn't really live up to that contract any more than he did in 2016. You know, some Zobrist, you mentioned Zobrist, Cody. It was like a lot of these things just went in the wrong direction, but they held on because they wanted to do it with those core group of guys. And obviously it didn't happen. And so Jed has admitted that that's one of the big lessons that he learned is that, yeah, you want to do it with the guys that, you brought up, you drafted, you kind of developed into these all-stars that won the World Series. But there does come a point where you hold on too long. You hold out hope that they could find that magic again for too long. And I know Luke's been saying it since last year, like they should have traded some of those guys sooner than they did. Right? They shouldn't have waited until their free agent years, their walk years to trade them. And I think Jed has kind of come around to that realization. Like, yeah, we held on the hobby too long. Maybe we could have traded him for something earlier, or, you know, Chris Bryant or whoever it was that they may have traded earlier. I think he started to come to that realization that just overall, no matter who it was, overall, they held on to that core too long and tried to find that magic again when it just wasn't going to happen.
The name that we haven't mentioned is Schwarber. I mean, the guy had a really good 2019, especially in the second half. And, you know, they could have, if they wanted to make a trade, they could have moved him because at that point he was still kind of a streaky hitter and you didn't know what you're going to get. You know, me and Luke especially still can't get over the fact that they let him walk for nothing And like, that's like, I remember in my headspace at that time, it was after, especially after 18 and even 19, I was like, okay, like Schwarber looks like a guy that you could probably move and get some value for, while also, you know, still like keeping your core around. And then they didn't. And then, you know, to see how everything else played out, you just look in back in hindsight and you're like, what are we doing? So that's just one example, but like you could do that with all a slew of them. So,
every one of them. Chris Bryant, yeah. You could do it too. Like the nagging injuries that he had also, 18, if you knew you weren't going to re-sign him and you thought, you know what, this team isn't going to win the World Series, you could have gotten more, but some of the nagging injuries also played into that. You want to sell him at a high. You don't want to sell him where he's coming off an injury and he's proven it to somebody. So, there are factors, and I fully understand why they felt like, let's run it back one more time with these guys. Let's give this group, if there's any group in baseball history that you didn't want to break up because you wanted to give them one more shot to prove it as a group, I understand why that was the group.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Heck, fans are still mad that they broke up the group, even though right. We clearly know that it was time to break up the group. So, to see how it all plays out now, because winning's not guaranteed with this next group of young players. But if they are successful, it'll be interesting to see if they really did learn from their lessons, because baseball is a funny sport. A guy can be great. Look at Cody Bellinger. A guy can be great 1 year and three. He could be the MVP of the league. And 3 years later, you could be like, well, we're just going to let him go.
Yeah.
That's how fast it changes in baseball. Yeah. So you have to be ready. You have to be keen enough with the eye and watching it with your scouts to know, or at least think you know, when's the right time to move on from one player, and don't let your heart get involved. And maybe the Cubs let their hearts get involved a little too much the first time around.
And to round this out, like, yeah, we're sitting here and we're talking about, oh, the guys didn't do this, they didn't do that, you know, they regressed, all this. At the same time, you can argue that the front office not being more aggressive, especially after 2019, is even more of a disservice to helping that team even be good. Especially after 2019, but it all honestly started after 2018. Like, when you are the Chicago Cubs, when you are a big market franchise like they are, I'm just saying, like, there's fault around for both sides. So I just wanted to round it out with that because I don't want people to look at us like we're blaming the players fully.
It's not
just the players.
Both sides, 100%, all the way around. Ryan, do you have any DraftKings gambling tips for us on potentially NBA teams?
I've
stopped watching the Bulls. I can't handle it anymore.
Betting on the Bulls is so hard. You don't know what's going to happen on a game-by-game basis. But I will say DraftKings is where I love to go. If I'm betting on NBA, I'm gonna go to DraftKings. DraftKings, you know, it's my favorite sports betting app. You know, Cody likes to wake up, roll over, open his phone, and open up DraftKings. I've started to get into that, right? I've started to kind of take after Cody's lead. NBA fans, it's time to bring the hoops action to the palm of your hand with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app today, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game. And if it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back. And actually, I did do that. I did do that for a Bulls game. Lost it by, I think I put, eight legs and, only two of them hit, something like that. But I got that. I got that bonus bet back. And then I used that over the weekend for the Bulls game, and that one hit. So it was it's basically like my first bet hit, right? I didn't lose any money in that deal. It was sweet. That's, you know, those same game, no sweat parlays. DraftKings got them, and those are huge for anyone that wants to bet parlays but doesn't love it. Those are huge. Download the DraftKings app now and sign up with code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 on the NBA and get $200 in bonus bets instantly, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Very nice. Going to be a lot of gambling. I hope there's some prop bets. We might tackle that later in the later in the week, just see if there's any prop bets that we could tackle here as a group, maybe
okay.
for the Super Bowl. And then are the, you know, I wish there were like some cool prop bets for baseball before this season, like really fun stuff. Not, you know, I don't know.
Playoffs plus 310.
Yeah, I saw Dubs put that. That's not crazy.
I'm telling you, I think that's great value. Crazy. I think it's great value. I think
half the league makes the playoffs.
Honestly, that's the one. That's the one where all of us should put in, you know, 10, 20 bucks. We'll put it together and make it all on one. We'll make a CHGO Cubs account for DraftKings, and that will be our bet for the year.
We have a meeting after this with the bosses. We're going to have to bring that up again. Again, we need a CHGO Cubs account that can be followed financially throughout the season.
That somehow has a social, or was it a social security number, I think, that DraftKings needs from you to prove that you're a person.
Yep. Yeah, well, we'll use Jake's. We'll use Jake's again. Or we'll use Brendan's. Either way, Brendan seems so, you know.
There you go.
Trustworthy that I feel like we could use his and he wouldn't steal our money, but we could all divide the cash. And if we lose money, then it's Cody's responsibility. He sells some shoes. coming up the rest of the week, we've got some more interviews coming from Cubs convention, by the way. Keegan Thompson tomorrow, which will be a lot of fun. And you'll find out whether or not he knows that Cody calls him the mayor on a regular basis. We did ask him, do you know that you're called the mayor by Cody Del Mendo? And it's an interesting reaction. I'll just say that. We'll just leave it at that. That's what we call it.
I haven't seen it, so I'm looking forward to, you know, reacting to his reaction. And based off how that feels will depend on if I ever run into the guy, what I'm going to say. So
that's right.
There you go.
We'll see. Tune in tomorrow to see my reaction.
And we have one with Hayden Wesneski still coming up. I believe that'll probably air on Thursday. And then, you know, boy, spring training is basically here at that point. You know, and then we've amped up far enough that we're almost a Cactus League action. Is there a – I've been trying to think of who we really, really want to hear from. It kind of goes back to the photo thing, but who do you really want to hear from at spring training? Like, obviously, Mervis is one of the biggest names because most people want to know, what is this guy? You know, who is he? What is he?
Braylon Marquez might be the guy.
Braylon Marquez is a good one, too.
See how he's feeling. Yeah. There's
I got to tell you, for me, the number one name I want to hear from, I want to hear from Brendan Davis. I want to know exactly how he's feeling, where his confidence is at, how tough last year. What did he ever get to a point where he was like, this isn't going to work? What were doctors telling him? All of the, I think Brendan Davis is a fascinating story going into spring training. Because if you just take it back 1 year, we were all thinking this guy could be on the opening day roster. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where you're at now. Maybe you're back to that same point. I hope we're back to that same point.
Yeah. De La Cruz says Killian as well. I think that's in that.
Killian's
that's,
a good one too.
Name. That's a name, yeah. There's a lot, like, you can probably make a list because there's a lot of, like, oh, if this guy does this, then the Cubs could be good or the farm system will rise. You know what I mean? Like, so, but Brendan Davis, as far as the future, the immediate future, yeah, that might be number one on the list.
Michael Collada, I don't know what this is. Michael says he needs to get a hold of our office. How do I do it? Well, this is dangerous. Now we've gone dangerous.
We can't go into the Discord, man.
Yeah, Discord. Discord's where it's at.
Anyways, we will see you again. 1:20 coming up tomorrow. We'll be in studio. We'll have the Keegan Thompson interview, whether or not he knows he's the mayor, and we'll have more Cubs talk for you right here at the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sports book. Make sure you download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel for CHGO Sports. And until Tuesday, fly the W.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.